This is a Pinball News production.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Anybody here having any fun? Does anybody like pinball, or it's not why you're here, right? No, anyway, this is my first pinball convention. First time to Expo, just having a blast here with my wife, loving it. But just want to give you a little background about myself. Been collecting pinball machines since 78. First game I got was a Go-Go, which is what this is mainly about. What you're looking at here on the side is a reproduction that we're going to do. We're actually going to redo Hercules, and I'm just kidding, but anyway. We'll go over this whole project and how it came to be, and just appreciate you coming. Christmas 1978. I don't remember how old I was because I was little. But anyway, I had anybody here remember going to the old Holiday Inn Holodome, any of the old arcades when you were kids? You used to see pinball machines everywhere. I used to bug my parents to death about, hey, I'd really like to have a pinball machine. Well, my father's brother actually had one in his basement, and we'd go there and we'd play it every once in a while when we went to visit him. And the Christmas of 1978, that's me getting my Coleco touchdown game that I used to beat everybody at because I kind of got a nervous thumb and I'd get the quarterback going, you know. That's my sister below. But we had no idea at that day that what was in store for us waiting in the basement. We walked downstairs, and my dad had bought his brother's a Go-Go from him and hauled it up and put it in the basement, and it was a great Christmas. But we played the heck out of that thing. That's me back in 78, 79. just having a good time with it. Barbie was there. It's a 1966 a Go-Go came out. It was designed by Norm Clark. Jerry Kelly did the artwork. And according to Rob, talked to Rob yesterday, and he mentioned that it was a high production machine. They made, I think, over 6,000. If you check the IMDb, it'll tell you all about it. So, 20 years later, my pinball collection grew. But that's what happened to my Go-Go. We had moved around quite a bit when I was a kid. I grew up in St. Louis. Went from St. Louis to Memphis, Tennessee. From Memphis, Tennessee, we ended up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I don't hear anybody who's ever been to South Dakota. If you have, I'm sorry. Very, very cold state. But we had moved from one house to another in South Dakota, and we had to store the game for a short period of time. When we did, it was winter. And ink delamination on these back glasses was a nightmare. But anyway, what I did, you know, this backlash had gotten so bad, I took it out of the game with the hopes of one day being able to either find one or being able to restore it. But my collection grew. I started collecting pinball machines. Any game I could find out there, I'd pick it up and fix it and sell it. Some of them I keep in the game room. But I never forgot the original game that I had, and I never got rid of it. I still hung on to it. But my collection had outgrown the size of the house. So what do you do when you're at that point? You know, Go-Go's on the back burner. You know, I'm dealing with ramps. I'm dealing with multi-ball. You know how it goes. It's all escalation. But it got to a point, and I'm like, you know what? We can't store all these games. So I got to do something with these things. So we decided to go ahead and add on to the back of our house. Now, keep in mind, we're living in Florida, so fortunately, probably a lot of you guys out there in the audience have basements. Basements in Florida are called pools. That's me with a sledgehammer hoping to begin the construction of this new game room in my backyard. This is my favorite picture of the entire slideshow. This is called Love. That right there is my wife with a jackhammer. Now, how many out here have a wife that would get down, get a jackhammer, and help them build a game room onto the back of their house to store their pinball machines? This is the only, that's a unique animal back there in the back of the room. Wave to everybody. Give her a hand, guys. You don't see pinball wives a whole lot. That's my son helping out with the, you know, with the, we actually only, we didn't have to do a whole lot of work as far as construction. We just had to get that concrete out of there, but there was a lot to it. These are going to be, I'm going to show you some quick slides of just what the construction process looked like. There they're pouring the footer and all that good kind of stuff. I got the concrete block guys putting the block up. Notice here on the side, I've got glass blocks on either side of the game room, and that's just for indirect light, because by the time we add the roof and everything to the game room, you'll notice that we don't have to worry about light fading out the games. We've still got some ambient light coming in there, some natural light, but you don't have to worry about them fading out the games. And that's right before the paint. So we finally are able to haul all the games out of the existing room and start to haul them into the game room that we've got. And there's a go-go. Finally, out of the garage, out of wherever a go-go was at the time, we finally were able to bring it in. Now, when we decided to build this room, I always had the idea of it would be neat to paint something, some type of a mural or something, on one wall of the room. So I told the contractor, I said, hey, so don't put any texture on that one side. I want it nice and smooth and flat. That's just the setup process. There's a go-go, of course, without the back glass, because the back glass is in really bad shape. Now, I still have the back glass. It's in even worse shape, but it's still there. So now I've got the project of fixing that glass to make my game room complete. I fly around a lot. I fly from end to end of the country. My job, I work in software, and I'm all over the place. Lately, I've been in Atlanta working with the Home Depot every week. I don't know when that's going to quit, but it's a good team out there at Home Depot. But anyway, so this is what I've got. I took the original back glass to a place in Orlando called Triangle Reaper Graphics. They scanned the back glass for me, and they said, well, I said, I don't know what shape it's going to be in after you get it scanned. I said, you know what? I said, it's bad enough. Let's just go ahead and scan it. Do something with it. So over a period of time, sometimes pixel by pixel, I'd zoom in. I'd work on this thing over a period of time. I don't know how long it took. As you can see over in some of these areas here where the paint's just bubbled up, if you get a little closer to it, of course, you can tell that it's pretty bad shape. I imagine Phoebe, she's probably a magician with these things, but I wasn't. So I decided to go ahead and reproduce it on computer. That's what it looked like when I got done. I then took it into Triangle and had them go ahead and print it out on material very similar to what we're looking at here on the right. And I thought, you know, it'd be interesting, it'd be fun to go ahead and do this project, go ahead and paint this on the wall. So I put it back in the program and did what's called trace contour, which gave me all of the outlines of all the characters on the back glass. I then took and printed this out on transparencies, you know, cut it up in smaller pieces, printed it on transparencies, and started to project it on the wall in the game room. Now keep in mind, the wall that we've got is 8 feet high and 20 feet wide. This image is not in those same dimensions, obviously. So I can't, if I wanted to project this image and put it on the wall, I'd have a lot of dead space on both sides. So we decided with the transparencies to scoot things around and kind of reorganize the back glass. We used a lot of obviously an overhead projector. We also had a lot of rules, a lot of straight edges to be able to get the edges nice and sharp. Big fat pencils that you used to use when you were a kid. Art erasers, that kind of stuff. I also got a few pictures here. If you notice here on the right, this is a little interesting factoid. If you look on IMDb, this gentleman here down at the bottom is supposed to be a likeness of Jerry Kelly. This guy right here. I don't know if he looked like that in his younger years, but yeah, that was. If you look on IMDb, he said that was a likeness of him. So anyway, notice he's grabbing onto the woman's foot there. Well, that worked great on the back glass, but it didn't really work well on this wall. Notice we got the lady there on the left, and I'm like, we're going to have to move some things around. So that's kind of one of the pains of this, is you go through, you draw. Oh, no, I need to move something over, so you erase, redraw. So if you see here, she was there. We ended up moving this person. You can see there's a martini glass behind her. But just over a period of time, we started to draw, and we finally got everything on the wall the way we wanted it. Now is the process of painting. Everything's on the wall. Now we grab the paintbrushes and the paint. Now, we ended up going to Home Depot to buy Glidden wall paint, regular wall paint like you'd paint in your house. Stuff worked like a champ. Now, another nice thing about it is they can color match. So any of the colors that you see, you know, you can take them in and get them color matched pretty easy. You don't have to go through the stuff that Phoebe did. And it's just normal latex house paint, very durable. Really didn't have a problem with it. It was pretty easy to work with. Always get some help if you're doing projects like this. Always get some help. That's my brother-in-law Steve on the right and my sister Kelly on the left. But we started with the background. Now, if I had to do over, I would have painted the entire wall and then drawn everything because it was a pain in the butt to draw around or paint around all these little items that were on the wall. Used a lot of tape. As you can see here, we're starting to add in some additional color. Over there, the lady's arm starting to go to a different to flesh color. A lot of times it took numerous coats of paint. The brushes that we used to do this project weren't very expensive brushes, I guess simply because of the scope of the project and the size of it. And plus we had everybody in there doing it. And I mean, if you go out and spend some serious money on some brushes, and if you do, you know, you'll see we actually have kids involved in this project too. But what was neat about this project is that really, you really felt like, you were actually pulling the image out of the wall as you were painting it. Extremely rewarding. I suggest if anybody, I mean, I'm not a painter. I paint houses and stuff like that every once in a while, but I don't consider myself a painter. But doing this was such a rewarding thing. I mean, we had so many people that wanted to be involved in it, and they would come over for hours, and we'd listen to music, and we'd sit there, and we'd paint and paint. But this shot here is kind of funny because notice we're doing right now is painting purple. And I'm like, you know what? I can't stand this. I want to see what this is going to look like done. So the temptation to not paint the black. The black was the last thing that we painted. The temptation not to paint black was excruciating because once you painted the black and got everything, as you can see, the Williams logo really pops. Now, of course, that needs an additional coat of paint on it, but it gave me an idea. It gave me more. I want to keep working at it. These are just detailed shots of getting close up. Of course, some of the smaller points and things you need smaller paintbrushes to do, and you want to make sure that you got a paintbrush that's got a good tip on it. These are just what you're looking at here, just different stages of the project. Sometimes we use big paintbrushes, which is a little bit more what I'm used to. But my wife painting some of the blue down there by the leg area. This is a zoomed out shot that we did, just showing the kind of the scope of the whole project. Like I said, that's about 20 feet wide. And we'd work, obviously during the day, and we'd work in through the night, whatever it took. Everybody was just kind of into it. As you can see, we've got a copy of the back glass. Whenever I created this, they gave me several proofs. We've actually got a smaller copy of the back glass, using it as reference up here at the top. Up there by those glass block. But as you can see, at this stage of the project, we're ready to start painting the black. Now, the trick about the black was I used a lot of tape, but we also used some interesting techniques where we would take a yardstick or a rule, and we actually lay the, you can buy these things, they're called ink brushes, or ink pens, that's what it is. It's almost like a paintbrush on the end. But it's already preloaded with whatever color you want, in this case, black. And we would take a straight edge, and we would lay it on its side. And we would then take the ink pen, and we would draw down the side, but we wouldn't let the paint actually touch the rule. Because a lot of times if you did that, you'd end up getting it all the rule, and you go to move it over to put somewhere else, and then you got black on that, and it just didn't work out very well. We used a computer and the original image to zoom in to make sure that we had the color matching right, to make sure that if there was black around the mouth, something to that effect, that we could get in and do those detailed shots. Used a lot of tape. You can do this. None of us are experienced at this at all. This is something anybody can do, and like I said, it's very rewarding, and you'd be surprised the results you get when it's all done. You're going to see a series of progression shots, kind of from start to finish, how it came out. That's the 1, 2, 3, 4. First coat. This is starting to add the black. Working more on the black. Working more on a little touch-up. Getting the areas right. This is number 4 up. Adding the black. Just tightening it up. Tightening the picture up. As you can see, once you start to add the black, obviously things really start to pop. Another thing nice about it, this particular image was only two-dimensional. It wasn't a three-dimensional image. It didn't require any airbrushing or any, there was no shading or anything like that. So if you decide to do a project like this, just keep in mind that it's a lot easier to do something that's just two colors as opposed to, I don't think I'd want to do an Indiana Jones on a wall or something like that. Goodness, get Doug to do that. Just a lot of touch-up work, which was tedious, but it was still rewarding as well because you really see the image start to snap into place. It's my niece, Brittany, down there at the bottom again, my wife. Kids involved in this, which they had a blast doing it. And they were good. You see some of the better detail there. It's my son, Eddie. He's helping out. That's what it looked like pretty close to the end. As you can see over here by her hair, there's a little bit of touch-up that needs to be done right over in here. Obviously, we don't have the numbers in yet. Some little white there. Just some little areas that needed some additional things. This was the final product right before we added the numbers. As you can see, it really... people walk in the house and they get a kick out of it, and that's half the fun right there. That's what it was like. That's what it is with the numbers. Now, these numbers are all significant. I'm like, I could just throw some numbers up there, no big deal. But each one of these numbers is significant. The 1101 at the top, upper left, number one, player one, is the address of the house that I lived in whenever I got the game. The 1278, that's the month and the year that I got the game, December of 78. The 0566 is when the game was made, May of 66. And then the 07, and that's actually going to be an 08, that is when we finished the mural. So it took quite a while, but it was a lot of fun. And that's the money shot. That's the pinball machine that I got when I was a kid with the mural behind it. And it, like I said, it was a fun project, and if any of you even want to, if you're interested in that at all, let me know. I've got some cards sitting out here with my email address on them, and it was a lot of fun. But I actually sent some pictures of this to Jim from Pen Game Journal, and he got such a kick out of it that he ended up putting it on the cover of his magazine. And he's got some extras up here if anybody's interested. A little article kind of what I've mentioned here today. Pretty much exactly what I mentioned here today. I've got a video that I want to show you of what the game room came out like, and a little kind of a musical thing. We'll show you that in here in just a minute. But if anybody's got any questions, feel free to ask. Yes, sir.
Not so much a question as a comment. There was a year that Jerry Kelly came here to the Pinball Expo, and in his frenzied presentation where he's claiming to be so original and everything, he denied being the inventor of pointy elbows, but we can certainly see plenty of pointy
elbows. That's very true. A lot of pointy elbows on this. But I love the image. It really sets the era. I mean, it was almost like a Picasso-ish type thing. And very cubist. But just brilliant colors, just stands out. Just a lot of fun, you know. Oh, what was the cost? Oh, goodness. It was minimal. What'd it run? $100, $200?
And how many total hours did you
have? That's a good question. It took us about 3 months, didn't it? Yeah, we work on the weekends and evenings, but, I'd say, 20 hours? That's that longer than that? Okay. 40 hours? 80 hours?
The idea of the layout was quite intriguing to me. How you had the scores at the ends and the go-go. It was an interesting layout, how you pulled that side glass apart. The damage where you did was very nice.
Thank you. There was one thing that I did. Let me see if I can back this up. I think I work in software, I'd be better at PowerPoint. don't know if I can preview this or not. If you look, what's that? Oh. if you look here, it's kind of hard to see because the image isn't, I can't make it big, but the martini glasses. I had to move, you can't really see it here on the image because it's kind of dark, but the martini glasses there on the right are into, they're closer to the three up. But where I decided to put them was a little bit higher up. And the reason for that is I didn't want the black to, I wanted the black to have a definite end to it. So I didn't want it to bleed all the way over to the other side of the door. So I kind of repositioned the martini glasses. Another thing that I did, if you look at, well, let's call him Jerry because, again, I'm getting that from IMDb. I'm not making it up. If you look at Jerry, you can see that he's grabbing onto her arm. I wanted him to, he's pinching something over here. He's grabbing onto that woman's leg, and I wanted to still kind of get that. So I just positioned her over, and instead of this woman having her leg grabbed, this one's getting her arm grabbed. So he's this, think about this guy. He's, you know what, Jerry Kelly must think he was cat's meow. He's got three women going. He's got one here, and dancing with that one back there, another one over here, so player. But it was about as haphazard as this presentation I'm doing. No, there was we added some things here and there. I think we added some additional martini glasses and some notes to try to fill in the gaps. But again, that was the whole reason why, you know, I went with pencil to begin with, because it was hard to conceptualize what it was going to look like when it was all done. I knew that I wanted to kind of keep everything together, but then again, I couldn't because of the size of the wall. But something else that we did, and a lot of people, I don't think we've really ever had anybody catch this, but if you look, there's tile here on the floor. That tile is in an arc. And if you look here on the back glass, I'm getting all mixed up here. We stretched this arc out right here to match the arc that we had cut in the tile as well, to try to bring the back glass, not even just on the wall, but try to bring it out into the room. It was I believe it was satin. Was it flat or was it satin?
Satin.
It was a satin paint. The satin paint seems to wash. You know, if you get something on it, you can wash it off. I would like to eventually put some kind of a clear coating over it. I'm surprised I haven't gotten any questions about the numbers. Is that what you're going to ask? I'm sorry. The numbers are actually, we cheated on the numbers. Those are Kinko's printouts of actual images that I took of the different numbers on the machine. It was much easier. My brother-in-law came over. He's like, all right, how are we going to do this? We're going to have to shade this. We're going to have to do it. I'm like, you know what? Heck with that. If I ever decide to change any of the numbers on here, we'll be able to change them. Just, but they're just color printouts. And we made them to size and placed them in the spots. Oh, yeah, there are areas that are thicker than others. But myself, if you look at it real, real close up, you know, you might even see some pieces of brush, you know, or brush strokes and things like that in it. That really wasn't what we were trying to achieve. Matter of fact, personally, I'm glad it's not, let's say, back glass perfect, because you can walk up to it and you can tell that this is a real painted image. I guess you could have. I don't know how well spraying would have done inside the house. If we had done it outside, obviously, but she's over here jackhammering and stuff. I don't want to spray in her house and make a mess. You know, there's only so far you can push some of those things. But no, I understand what you're saying. That probably would have been a good idea. If I had to do over again, I definitely would have started with the base of the color. That way I didn't have to paint around it, because that did take quite a while. What else would I have done differently? Some of the types of ink brushes that we used, check that. Check the type of ink brushes that you're using. At least, you know, for the black, we're using these they're called ink pens. It's like I said, it's like a loaded pen that has, it's, you can really make a real nice fine line. It's almost for animation. But be careful what you're using there, because there was an instance where, you know, we're cleaning the house. My wife wipes the baseboards off, and when she did, she accidentally caught the Play Flipper skill games, and it smeared some because the type of product that we were using. In some instances, some of it could hold up to washing it with water, and some of them can't. Something I didn't use was Sharpie. Kind of shied away from that. Everything I've ever read on the internet, Sharpies and pinballs really don't go too well together. I mean, there's still some conjecture out on that, but they kind of have a tendency to bleed. Anybody else? Well, again, I'd like to show you just a quick video of what the game room, the kind of progression, some funny shots in there. I really appreciate everybody coming. If there's ever anything, you know, you got any questions for me, anything like that, please don't hesitate to ask. We're here all weekend, and we're just having a great time, and I appreciate being invited out here. Thank you.